God, thank you for the chance to be together this day. We do thank you that through the good and through the bad, you are present with us, that we can trust you. Help us this day to remind one another of that, to truly believe the good news of your love. And in that confidence, to actually spread our wings, to venture out, to live this life you've called us, you've created us to live. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, it's happened again. 17 people killed at a high school. Many more injured. Many, many more there at the high school and around the nation, traumatized. It's happened again. What's going on with our world? Is there any reason to have hope in the face of the conflicts that we have, our inability to seems to make good decisions that actually help us in a positive direction? Yesterday, we had a wonderful session in the morning put on by a Journeys group. I want to thank those of you who were a part of putting that together. We had over 60 people gathered to talk about immigration, another one of those issues that is, whether we want to talk about it, think about it or not, is right on top of us. It's affecting us and it's dividing us, what we're going to do. And I'm so grateful for the chance we had yesterday to not just hear sound bites from different positions, but to actually get some information, to talk about the different positions and why different positions, what in those might make some sense, and how we can actually talk about this in a way that's courageous and respectful. So thank you to those of you who put that together and participated. I look forward to more of those. We see the Olympics taking place right now. What a great thing. The nations coming together, supporting one another, cheering for each other, competing with each other. But it's all pretty positive. And we know at the same time that countries are dividing one from another, that violence is continuing all around the globe. You got to wonder if we've got any hope at all. You know, we're talking this Lenten season about the path to renewal. And we're following the outline of this book, The Pietist Option, that Dr. Chris Gerrits and I wrote together about hope for the renewal of Christianity, hope for us as people of God. But before we venture forward at all on that path, we got to ask ourselves, do we really have hope? What is it that we're walking on? Is there a foundation for hope in our world? And Chris, in the first chapter about what's wrong in our world, quotes a study that was done in 2015. It showed that 60% of white evangelical Christians here in the United States believe that our best times as a country are behind us. 56% of white mainline Protestants believe that the best times for the United States are behind us. That's shocking. We're the only, actually, isn't that amazing? I mean, most of us kind of fit into that category one way or another. We're the only religious group in the United States that believe that. The majority of people from other ethnic groups and racial groups, in terms of their faith, believe that there's still hope, hope for the future for us. What's wrong with us to the degree that either that's true, that we don't have hope, or that we're on the fence, like wondering, is there hope? What's wrong with us if that's really, as followers of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, if that's where we're kind of living? What is it that we're missing? What I'd like to say today is that what's missing is that foundation of hope, this firm foundation of hope that we are not going to find in this world. We're not going to find in our circumstances. We're going to find only in Jesus Christ, only in God. We got to know what the foundation of our hope is. It's only on that foundation that then we can venture forward. into life, into challenges, into the face of evil, into the face of even death itself, with hope. Today's gospel lesson is a wonderful, wonderful place for us to start at looking at that foundation of hope upon which we want to venture forward toward renewal, the renewal of our faith and of our life and of our service to God in this world. The gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, and it's the story of the beginning of Jesus' journey, his beginning as a servant of God here in the world, as God in this world. And as we look at the foundation of the beginning of his life and his ministry, may God help us to see better the foundation for ours. I want you to notice as I tell this passage how it's not all easy. There's foundation, there's good, and then there's testing. Jesus is going to go into the wilderness. He's going to be among the wild beasts. Satan himself is going to be testing him. And then things will get even worse. John the Baptist will be arrested. It looks like the world is just going all in the wrong direction. And it's right at that point that Jesus actually ventures forward because of his firm foundation of hope. He ventures forward proclaiming the good news of God. So may God give us ears to hear. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Now, when John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's try that once. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, this Lent, we are going to be doing this series on the path to renewal. I know we've got several small groups that are reading this book, The Pietist Option, together. We've got out on your way out here in the narthex, the lobby, some devotionals that Chris Garrett has edited, written by people across the country. It's wonderful devotional. I encourage you to be taking a look at that and using that for a guide. I know many of you are going to be a part of this 7 days of prayer that begins today. I just encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. The prayer chapel has been set up in a wonderful way so that an hour in prayer, actually, if you can believe it, will go by very quickly and very meaningfully. We've got a lot of different ways in which we can step forward on this path to renewal this Lent. But it's this foundation, the foundation for the path, the foundation for this renewal that today I want us to take time to really reflect on. So let's look at the foundation that Jesus walked on, how it worked for him. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. This is the beginning point for Jesus' life and ministry. So what happens there? The heavens are torn apart. So heaven's opened up for him. Jesus says to Nathanael, if you remember the first chapter of John, "You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That God is opening up heaven. All the blessings of heaven are available to Jesus and in Jesus now to us. Heaven is open. He sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not just in general, but did you notice? On him. And he hears this voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the beginning point, the foundation for Jesus as he goes to be tested, as he goes off to enter the challenges of life and ministry, as he even goes to the cross. This is the fundamental bottom line truth for him to live in. And it is the same truth for us. This is the foundation. In our baptisms, not at the end of our journey, but at the beginning of our Christian life, when we are baptized, God says this very same thing to each and every one of us. Heaven is opened. All the riches of heaven, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, are already yours. The angels are ascending with your prayers and bringing down your daily bread. What you need, God will provide. The Holy Spirit is with you, upon you. This is the truth for you. And you are my beloved child, my daughter, my son. This is the foundation, that firm foundation for us. You need to know. You need to own this. This is what Jesus is calling us to believe. The good news that you're loved in the midst of all that's going on. I want to go on, though, and notice that what happens next is that the Holy Spirit actually drives Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He's going to be with the wild beasts. The angels are going to wait on him. It makes me think of what it's like for a sports team that is getting going. They're learning the skills. They're kind of getting their act together in terms of working together. But then they go into scrimmages because they need to be tested. They need to let it sink in a little deeper. In the face of the challenge, they need to make sure that they're going to do what they've been taught to do. And Jesus has this time of testing, of being tempted, in which this truth of this foundation gets to sink in more deeply before he goes off into ministry. And then Jesus goes off in the ministry. Notice when it happens, when he begins his ministry. Now, when John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. You know, it's not when things are looking all rosy and all good. It's when things are actually looking bad. That's when Jesus steps forward to proclaim the good news of God, to actually be good news in this dark world. For us too, we need to hear the good news, to know that God loves us, to know that his Spirit is with us, to know that the angels are providing what we need, to trust God. But we need to also know that you're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted. This is life here in this world. Don't be surprised that the difficulties come, that you find yourself tempted and tested. Take advantage of that as an opportunity to believe the good news, to remember where your hope and the foundation of the path for you comes from. Trust in God. Let those be opportunities to remember the good news. And when things get bad in our world, let that be an opportunity for you, kind of the call of God for you, to step forward and be who God's created you to be in this world. One of the things that Chris mentions as he begins his chapter, What's Wrong in Our World, he quotes from Jeremiah. He actually quotes from Philip Jacob Spener, who wrote the book that we based our book upon. It was kind of the pattern for our writing. Philip Jacob Spener lived in the 17th century, and he called the church the renewal, and a great renewal took place. But as Philip Jacob Spener writes his book, he begins with this. He quotes the prophet Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. Does that sound like something we might write today? Let me repeat that for you. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. This was written thousands of years ago. This could have been written today, Wednesday, right? In many ways, the evil in our world continues to rear its head. The reason Philip Jacob Spener quoted this is because they were facing difficulties in the 17th century. They were just coming off the 30 Years' War. They were in the midst of a great famine in Europe. The economy was devastated. People were polarized and fighting against each other. Different political and religious groups were battling out. They were arguing about theology and their differences of opinion in the church, but they were not focused on the foundation of their hope in Jesus Christ and on that foundation living as good witnesses to Jesus Christ in the world, doing good in the world. Spener even borrowed words from the second century martyr Polycarp. Good God, for what times hast thou preserved me? You know, you, God, created me to live in this world at this time? Are you kidding me? No, God is not kidding. You were created for just such a time as this. You have been blessed with the Holy Spirit. You've been claimed by God as his child, so that you can live today with hope, so that you can serve today with God's love being shared in this world through you. Listen to this wonderful word from Titus. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. By the way, no matter what anybody else might do. While we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Did you catch that? That we actually have this hope for the future, that God will come back, that Jesus will come back, that he will bring all things to a good culmination. And in the meantime, he's called us to live today as people who are zealous for good deeds. You were created for such a time as this. And when we see evil rearing its head, when we see trouble in our world, it's a sign for us. It's time to get busy. It's time for us to be about this work that God has given us. As people of hope, as people who know that Jesus has overcome even death itself, we do not fear. We venture forward to do the work of God in this world and to call people to believe in the good news, to turn to God, to trust God, and to walk in the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, as he goes on with his words here, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, he goes on to say, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. This is the time. Today is the day for us to wake up, for us to believe, for us to believe the good news, for us to venture forward in this good news. Now is the time. The time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We're called to proclaim this to the world. But I want to encourage you, challenge you, before you start telling anybody else in this world, any day, before you start telling somebody else to repent and to believe the good news, start with you. For me, this word comes to me when I'm feeling insecure. God, I don't know that I have anything to offer. I'm not sure that, I don't think anybody likes me. I don't know what I, you know. Give it up, Mark. Repent. Turn back to God and believe the good news. You are loved by God. You are claimed by God. God can use even you. You're going to have to trust him on this and venture forward on this. Believe the good news, Mark. And when I'm feeling guilty, when I'm feeling full of shame, I hear God's word again to me. Repent, Mark Patty. Turn to God and believe the good news. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I blew it again. Thank you for your forgiveness. I'll turn to you and believe the good news. You see how this is not something we just do once in our lives? This is something we do we need to do every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, that we continue to turn back to God. That's what that word repent means. Turn back to God, believe the good news, and believing that good news, take your next step as we talked about last week. Do the best that you know how, as we talked about last week. Venture forward on this firm foundation of hope, on this path of renewal, this path of service, this path of love, this path of God's call. You know, when I think about hope, I mentioned this in the book, and I've talked to you about this before. I think always of my grandma, my mom's mom, who went through the genocide when over a million Armenians were killed. And I think back to the stories that she told me as she went through that time and had so many family members die, as they lost their homes, as they lost everything, as she lost several of her children. I think of the stories she told me of stepping forward on the firm foundation of hope she's been given in Jesus Christ. That she was confident that even through death itself, God would see her and her children through. And so when she's given the opportunity to recant her faith and maybe gain safety physically for her children, she chooses not to, because how can she give up this firm foundation of hope that she's been given through Jesus Christ? This is the life she's been given. She's been claimed as God's own. Her children have been claimed as God's own. We're going to believe the good news, and we're going to venture forward. And so she does. And as she ventures forward, she sees examples of God's provision, of the angels of God, even through a Muslim Turkish soldier providing for her along the way. Little signs, glimpses of God's goodness, even in the midst of all the evil. And it wasn't those signs that she put her hope in, but the fact that God is good, and she's going to trust God, and she's going to notice the good and give thanks for the good, and she's going to be a part of the good for the world in which she lives. So through that time, she was a beacon of support and hope for the people she journeyed with through the wilderness. As she came here to the United States, she, wherever she landed, ended up finding ways in which she could serve. She could get involved in doing good. I got to do something. I got to be involved for good. I'm so thankful to God for my grandma and for the testimony that her life has been to me of what it means to venture forward on this firm foundation of hope, and on that firm foundation then to do good in the world. And I pray that we here at Salem Covenant Church, each one of us, will believe the good news. That this morning, in the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life personally, and all that we see in this world, that this day you will turn to God and believe the good news. And upon that firm foundation, venture forward with me this Lent, this week, this day, zealous for good works, letting our light shine in a dark world through the good works that we do, to the glory of God, to the good of our neighbor. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you that you are so good, that before we even begin the journey, you see us and claim us and love us. Thank you for the glimpse of the end of the journey that we have, of that day, Lord Jesus, when you will come back and you will bring your kingdom in fullness for all. But as we wait, may we venture forward on the firm foundation of hope that is ours, because you have overcome sin, you have overcome evil, you have overcome even death itself. Thank you for calling us on this day, in this world, to be light, and to let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works, our good lives, and give glory to our Father in heaven. Amen.